Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Philippians chapter 2. In verse 5, the Word of God says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Let this mind, that means these thoughts, let the thoughts that Christ has be in you. They're in Him, let them be in you also. You can have these thoughts because the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. So it's very easy for you as a believer, as a Christian, to have the thoughts of God because God lives in you. And He will give you His thoughts. His thoughts are the Word of God. So let the Word of God be your thinking, is what it says. Let the Word of God be your thinking. Because it is the thinking of Christ. Let it be your thinking. One of the greatest needs people will have is to learn how to think. Think with the Word of God. Learn to think with the Word of God. You want the right thoughts. The reason why you want the right thoughts is so that you will have the right experiences. Your experience is based on how you think. If you think poorly, your experiences will be negative. If you think correctly, your experiences will be positive. It's not based on what is happening. Circumstances do not determine experience. Thinking determines experience. You get two people who experience exactly the same thing, exactly at the same time. One of them will say it's wonderful, the other one will say it's awful. What's the difference? It was the same event at the same time. And the difference is in the thinking. One person knows how to think better than the other person. So the one that knows how to think has a positive experience. The one that doesn't know how to think will have a negative experience. Works like that every time. Now, if you are going to think in such a way that you have the experiences that God has designed for you, you are going to do it because you have God's thoughts. The Word of God says in Ecclesiastes 3:11 that He puts eternity in your heart. The heart is the frame of reference, the viewpoint. What it's saying there is God will give you thoughts so that you see things from His perspective, the way He sees them, the way they look from eternity. Eternity is a place. Remember that. Eternity is not a time. Eternity is a place. That's where heaven is, in eternity. Eternity is not just heaven, but heaven is in eternity. So you want to see things from the point of view of heaven, of eternity. The Word of God will give you that ability. When you have that ability in Ecclesiastes 3:11, you will be able to understand what God is doing from the beginning to the end. So from beginning to end, it's going to start to make sense to you, but only if you can see things from God's perspective. Only if you can have God's thoughts. If you have God's thoughts, in John 14:27, you're going to have a very peaceful experience, a very peaceful life. It's not that you won't have problems. Everybody has problems. But those problems will not overwhelm you. They won't become the issue in your life. The problems you have will simply be details to take care of. But they're not going to determine how you're doing. Because you have an eternal perspective, because you have God's thoughts. With God's thoughts, you'll have the correct experience. Now, there is something that hinders us in this. And it hinders us big time. That's found in Psalm 142 and verse 4. There, the psalmist says, "Look on my right hand and see, for there is no one who acknowledges me. Refuge has failed me, and no one cares for my soul. You know what he's doing here. He's feeling sorry for himself. This is one of Satan's strongest and most effective strategies. In fact, the Bible shows us in Genesis chapter 3 that this is the gateway to evil, is when we start to feel sorry for ourselves, self-pity. Self-pity is something you want to avoid at all costs. Never get into self-pity. It is the single most destructive force there is. Self-pity will ruin your life. 100% guaranteed, because it's Satan's design for your life. Now, self-pity is not just feeling sorry for yourself, although that is the most common expression of it. Self-pity is really any time that I'm sympathetic toward my old sin nature. If I get sympathetic toward my old sin nature, I'm going to have a very difficult time. The most common expression of that, and this is the way that you know that you're in self-pity, is negativity. A person who is negative is in self-pity. That is something you can diagnose self-pity with. I'm negative, I'm in self-pity. It's that simple. That negativity can have a whole bunch of different expressions. It can be somebody who's feeling sorry for themselves. It can also be somebody, get this, who's very self-righteous. They think, I'm better than you are, because they're being sympathetic toward their old sin nature. They don't feel sorry for themselves, but they're still living in self-pity. It can be somebody who's very critical. That person lives in self-pity. Well, I don't like this, and I don't like that, and therefore I'm going to say what I think about it. That's self-pity. Who cares what somebody likes or dislikes? It's self-pity. Self-pity can ruin people. It was the big problem that Satan had when he got kicked out of heaven in Ezekiel 28. He was in evil, and it started in self-pity. He found out that there would be a creature named man, that is to say mankind, that women too, who would sin, and God would die for their sins. But angels would fail, and God would not die for their sins. Man would have forgiveness with God, angels would not. And he started feeling sorry for himself. And he led an entire rebellion against God on the basis of feeling sorry for himself. Well, that's how it works. Feeling sorry for yourself, self-pity, is a dreadful thing. People say, well, nobody cares about me. Nobody loves me. Nobody wants me. Nobody respects me. Nobody thinks any good thing of me. That's baloney. Hebrews 13:5 says, God will never leave you nor forsake you. Isaiah 43 says, you're precious in His eyes. We're accepted in the Beloved. We're the apple of His eye. Nobody loves me. You're the apple of His eye. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares about me. Nobody talks to me. Nobody wants me. You're in self-pity. Self-pity is a lie that Satan sells people, and they buy it. It's the first lie that he told. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 5, he got Eve into self-pity, and when she was feeling sorry for herself because he told her God's trying to hold something from you, she started feeling sorry for herself. She wanted that thing, and now she couldn't have it. That opened the door to all the wickedness and evil that exists in the world. It came through self-pity. God is not interested in self-pity. He doesn't pity himself. Think about it. Jesus going to the cross. When was Jesus ever negative about going to the cross? When was Jesus ever negative about the fact that he was beaten so badly that his body was bleeding everywhere? When was he ever negative about the fact that people rejected him? When was he ever negative about the fact that the Pharisees spit on him? He didn't even answer them. Because he would not live in self-pity. When he was on the cross, hanging there, he still would not live in self-pity. He looked at everybody and said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." He would not go into self-pity. Never fall into that trap of self-pity. It is a trap. If you fall into this temptation, it's going to cause a lot of trouble in your life. Once you get into self-pity, it's very difficult to get out. So you're best off not going there. It will establish a frame of reference that's all about poor little me. And it will deceive you in everything else. You will see everything as being about you if you are in self-pity. I didn't like what they said. That was said to hurt me. That was said to disrespect me. That was said, whatever it is, that was said to be unkind to me. It's always something negative and it's always something about me if it's self-pity. Here's the thing it'll do. Number one, it'll prevent you from ever being happy. If you are stuck in self-pity, you will be miserable 100%. Guaranteed. That is the design of self-pity. You cannot be happy and live in self-pity. The two are opposites. A person who is stuck in self-pity will not experience happiness until they get out. And as long as they're in there, they will be miserable. Now, because it's very difficult to get out of self-pity, some people will spend their entire life there. And it will ruin their life. They could have a very happy life, and instead, because they've chosen self-pity, they're going to have a very unhappy life. That's by their choice. They're going to say, "This is the way I feel." And that's what's going to be used as the excuse. "Well, this is the way I feel." Well, here's how it works. When Satan brings something to you and your emotions respond to it, then if you look with your mind at your emotions, you will think that the emotions are telling you the truth about the circumstance. Let's say that you have an interaction with somebody. You're talking to somebody and they say something, and you're not sure if it's good, you're not sure if it's bad. The reality is that it doesn't matter if it's good or bad. But a person who lives in self-pity will look at it and they will see it from the negative end. Their emotions will respond negatively. That person will say to them, "It's like this," or somebody else will say, "No, this circumstance is like this. It's not according to your interpretation. It's like this." That person will then look at those emotions and say, "No, I'm right. Negative emotions, negative circumstance." What they haven't done is think beyond that to see the source of those emotions. That it was really a satanic initiation. And because they're living in self-pity, the emotions become the standard for everything. And in self-pity, they're always negative. That's why it ruins people's lives. That's why it's so hard to get out of. Because in order to determine whether something is true or not, they look to the self-pity, to the negative emotions, to evaluate everything. Well, good luck with that one. You're never going to be happy that way. So it'll take their happiness. It'll lead to all kinds of mistakes because that person is then going to start pursuing happiness, which will never be attainable. They can't get there. Because they're going about it the wrong way. So they're going to make all sorts of mistakes in life. They're going to destroy their relationships because their relationships are always going to be based on a negative premise, a negative foundation. And it doesn't matter who the person is. It doesn't matter what they're like. They could be the kindest, sweetest person in the world. Something negative will always be found. Why? It's Satan who is initiating the self-pity. Once that self-pity is there in a relationship, the next thing that's going to happen is accusation. That person will start accusing that person. Well, you don't love me. You don't care about me. You don't respect me. You don't think well of me. Nonsense. That's the self-pity speaking, which was initiated by Satan. What they want to recognize, because they will swear they're right because they're looking at their emotions, what they want to recognize is that Satan is the accuser and they are making accusations. They're not necessarily at first making accusations like you're evil. They're making accusations like, you don't care about me. Well, that's from the pit of hell. Satan is the accuser. But because they're looking at their emotions and the emotions agree with the accusation, they say, this is the way it is. And they're 100% convinced they're right when they're 100% wrong. But they won't see it. And you can't tell them because they're in self-pity. They will be convinced they're right. It will destroy their relationships. If they're married, it'll destroy their marriage. If they have friends, it'll destroy their friendships. If they have children, that relationship is going to be destroyed. If it's parents, that relationship will be destroyed. Self-pity is the most destructive force there is. And unfortunately, once self-pity hits, because of its negative nature, it will also rob them of rewards in eternity. Once they hit heaven, the rewards are gone. Because the opportunity that they had to get rewards was wasted on self-pity. It is the single most destructive thing there is. That person in James 1:8 will be unstable in all their ways. They won't know why. They'll feel the instability. They'll know that there's something not right, but they won't be able to put their finger on it and they won't be able to do anything with it. Why? Self-pity does that. It's a trap. Never get into self-pity. Now here's the thing. Sometimes we get into difficult situations and we want to feel sorry for ourselves. Don't do that. Paul made a remarkable statement about difficult situations. They're called tribulations. Tough times, tribulations. Paul said in Romans chapter 5 and verse 3, I glory in tribulations. He says, tough times make me happy. What? Tough times make me happy. What sense does that make? But if you continue there, he tells you why. Because tribulation produces patience. Patience is the first part of God's character. Tribulation works the character of God in me. When I get the character of God in me, I start to have positive experiences. Those positive experiences build a confident expectation. It's called hope. They build a confident expectation in me that God will come through for me because I've seen it happen before. And the outcome of it ultimately is that the love of God enters my frame of reference. So Paul says, I know how this works. I've been there before. I've got a tough time. I'm going to be happy about it because the outcome is that I'm going to see the love of God working in my life. And that made him very excited. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, he said, God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. You want to see God come through. You want to see miracles. You want to see God really do some amazing things in your life. Get into a place where you have some trouble. People try to avoid that like the plague. But God uses it amazingly. He brings it. Because that's where His strength on our behalf is really seen in a very clear way. That's where His faithfulness becomes obvious. That's where His kindness is right in our face. That's where His gentleness is all around us. It's not in the easy things, it's in the difficult things. In Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3, those difficult times are where you find your eternal rewards. The Bible says there's secret riches in dark places. Well, self-pity is going to rob me of all of it. It'll rob me of the love of God. It'll rob me of the rewards. It'll rob me of God's strength. It's the great thief. That's why you never want to get into self-pity. If you're ever tempted to get into self-pity, 2 Corinthians 10:5 tells us what to do. Get rid of the imaginations and the high things. High things are things that are high-minded about God, the things that you elevate above the Word of God in your thinking. Get rid of them quickly. In other words, don't tolerate it. Don't accept it. If there is the notion of self-pity, don't accept the idea. You say to yourself, forget it. I'm not going to get into self-pity. That's what Satan wants me to do. Why should I cooperate with my big enemy? Why would I want to cooperate with him? He's trying to destroy my life, and over here I'm going to start agreeing with him? He's a liar and the father of all lies. I'm not going to agree with him. I'm not going to cooperate with him. I'm not going to help him. He's a jerk. But you know what? A lot of people, they will embrace what he brings if it's self-pity. It's a very powerful weapon that he uses. You don't want to entertain self-pity. It will do severe damage. Instead, when it comes, start thinking with the promises of God. What does God say about this situation? God says he's going to come through for me. What does God say about the fact that somebody rejected me? God says he accepts me, that I'm the apple of his eye. He calls me his beloved. Who cares if people reject me if I'm the beloved of God? See, you always want to think with God's word because that's reality. Now, here's the way that you line it up. If you are thinking with this, you know that you have good thinking, right thinking. In Philippians 4:8, now I'm going to give you what it really means. So I'm going to paraphrase it a little bit. I'm going to change the words a little bit to emphasize the meaning. It said, whatever things are of the Word of God. Now he's telling us here what we should be thinking. Whatever things are the Word of God. Whatever things are God's character. Whatever things are according to what Christ has accomplished or the finished work. Whatever things are from the Holy Spirit. Whatever things are of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which in Galatians 5:22 starts with the love of God. And it goes into things like joy and peace and self-control and meekness and gentleness and things like that. Whatever things are of a positive reflection where you think nothing evil. If there's anything that's excellent to the mind, it says, if there's anything that's worthy of being praised, reflect on these things and think about them. That's how you know you've got good thoughts. The beauty of it is, God tells us both what the right thoughts are and what the wrong thoughts are. Because he wants us to identify right thoughts and wrong thoughts. If you think with the right thoughts, you will be a winner no matter what happens. You will have the most absolute phenomenal experience in life that you could possibly imagine. But if you think with the wrong thoughts and those come through self-pity, you can't win. There's no way to win because you've already chosen to lose. It can be tempting to feel sorry for yourself, especially when you get challenged. But when you get challenged, think correctly toward the challenge that this is an opportunity for rewards beyond your ability to figure out. These are amazing things. Never allow self-pity to come in. It is the most destructive force, but the right thinking is the most positive force. It is something that you will be extremely grateful for if you learn how to think correctly. But if you live in self-pity, the regret will never end. So my advice to you is learn how to think. Have right thoughts. And that way you can have the right experiences with God. Amen. If you don't know that you're going to heaven when you die, if you would like to go to heaven when you die, and know without any question in your mind, based in the Word of God, He gave it to you as a gift. So simply thank Him for that gift. Pray in your heart, Lord Jesus, thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for dying on the cross for me. I accept Your gift. I accept Your mercy. Save my soul and take me to heaven when I die. Amen.